help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue with singing from Psalter 12, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Chasten sore, I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? We sing Psalter 12, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 25 to the end. Mark 5, beginning at verse 25. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Mark 5, beginning at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Andy and Marilyn Gallagher, who were blessed with a healthy baby girl. Let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself in thy word as that holy and just God, but also a merciful and gracious God of heaven and earth. And in this morning, on thy day, in thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy, we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace. We may yet come together to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And there has been many in this past week who have exchanged time for eternity, some in a tragic way. But Lord, thou hast given that we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace. And we ask thee then to remember especially all those who are mourning. Comfort them, Lord, as thou art that God of all comfort. And yet, as we have heard of death, we also heard of life. Thou hast gladdened the family among us with the birth of a healthy baby girl. Lord, remember the parents. Give them thankful hearts for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for giving life, for sparing life. And remember them as parents and all of us as parents. May we lay all our children before thee. They have been brought into this world, and there will come a time they also need to leave this world. And in between this time, they need thy grace. They need that free and sovereign grace of the Almighty God. They need a new heart. They need regeneration. And Lord, thou art the only one who can do this great work. It's a work of a triune God. Salvation is in thee. It's not in man. Our hope alone is in thee. And may that be so. May we pray unto thee, not only bowing before thee in humility, with a sense of who we are, a sinful congregation, sinful individuals, worthy only of condemnation, worthy only of wrath. But, O Lord, wilt thou also give in our hearts faith. May we come unto thee, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. And we confess by nature our hearts of stone, no true gratitude, no true repentance, no faith. Lord, have mercy on us and work that grace that thou requires, but also that thou alone can give. We pray and ask thee then, Lord, that thou would gather with us in this day. May we plead upon the promise that thou hast given in thy own word, that thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. Lord, pass us not by because of all our sins, all our iniquities and transgressions, but thou art that faithful one. May we plead upon him in whom thou art well pleased. Come among us, Lord, for his name's sake. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. May it be then that today we may experience the presence of the Lord, that thou art among us. And Lord, that thou would give those blessings that thou alone can give, that through the preaching of law and gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ, that there may be those true fruits, that hearts may be renewed, and that there may be those fruits of true repentance towards God, and faith, that true saving faith towards that only Savior, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly, powerfully. Open deaf ears to hear who we are, but also to hear who thou art, and that way of salvation through him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Enlighten our minds, which are so darkened, spiritually darkened by sin and evil, to the truths of thy word, and open our eyes to see who we are, but also reveal thyself, Lord, not only in thy holiness and justice, but also in thy mercy and grace. O reveal unto us that precious Savior, and may there be a people who are longing to see him, to behold him in his beauties. Lord, open thy word and give opening to preach, and that we may lift him up among the people. And thou hast promised that when he is lifted up, thou wilt draw sinners unto him. Lord, we beg thee then in this morning, make us guilty. We are guilty, but show us, teach us, that it may become real, that we become lost, that we become miserable wretches, and draw us with those cords of love unto that only Savior, like that woman came, trembling, yet trusting in him. O Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us. We pray and ask thee to remember all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, siblings, friends. Lord, we pray, sanctify these callings to our hearts. Thou art speaking unto us through thy word, but also through all thy acts of providence, prepare to meet thy God. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would prepare us. Remember all those who are sick and afflicted. We think especially of Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf. Lord, remember him. What a message to hear. You have cancer. Oh, we beg thee, sanctify it to his never-dying soul. May he use the means for his health, for his body. But may he also be blessed under the means of grace for his never-dying soul. Lord, thou art a wonder-doing God. But remember all those who were sick, all those who have cares and concerns for their bodies, for their minds. Remember those who also have children with special cares and needs. Help them, Lord, as parents. Give them wisdom. Give them grace, Lord, to raise their children as parents, all of us, in the fear of the Lord. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember all thy servants throughout the world. Give that we may be faithful servants. Give that we may preach thy word according to the meaning of the Spirit, not according to man's desire, but for the glory of God, for the salvation of thy dear people. Lord, we pray, remember all thy servants throughout the world. May thy kingdom come. Thou hast not called angels to preach, but thou hast called sinful men, sons of men. Lord, help us. Help us. Give us thy grace. Give us thy spirit to be a mouthpiece, to be an ambassador for thee, and that thou would richly bless the foolishness of preaching to the salvation of sinners, that sinners may be born again, but also may it be that thy dear people may be comforted, instructed, reproved if necessary, that they may learn of justification and of sanctification, that thy dear people may produce fruits for thy honor, for thy glory, that they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, remember all mission work locally throughout this nation also, but throughout the whole world among Jew and Gentile. May thy kingdom come. And Lord, thou hast promised that they will come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Lord, thou art the King of the church. Thou art that good shepherd. Thou wilt gather thy sheep. And may we beg thee that there may be many also here in this congregation, in our denomination, and throughout the world, but also in Bolivia. Bless thy word there richly, Lord, powerfully, irresistibly. May we lay before thee the church workers and their families. Help them, Lord. But may we also ask thee to remember thy servant there, Pastor Marco, and others. Help them, Lord. Use them, teach them, lead them, guide them by thy word and spirit. And remember the elders and the deacons there in Bolivia, in those churches. But Lord, remember us also. Remember us as a consistory. Remember the elders. Remember the deacons. And remember also thy servant. Help us, Lord. May we be like Mary at thy feet, to be instructed by thee, that we may instruct others. Lord, we beg thee then in this morning, come among us. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy precious word. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. And Lord, we pray, thou knowest the congregation, thou knowest the needs, the hearts. Oh, wilt thou remember them, those with questions and riddles? Wilt thou answer them through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit? We pray that there may be many sighers and criers among us, crying unto thee as Aaron's and hers, and that thou would send forth and give an undeserved blessing for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, we deserve nothing. We are polluted. We are unclean. We are sinful. But may we ask thee to wash us, to cleanse us of all our sins. And may we ask this in the name of that precious name, of that only name, of that only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 4:17, all three stanzas. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays and my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. Psalter 4:17, all three stanzas, and the collections for this day is the first for the church and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ began to preach, as we read in Mark 1, verse 15, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." God, in his free and sovereign grace, and by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, renews totally depraved dead sinners. He makes spiritually dead sinners alive. And by the grace received, they will produce fruits. Especially two fruits. What are those two fruits? Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith, they go together. They're like Siamese twins. Where there is true repentance, there's faith. And when there's true faith, there is true repentance. May I ask you, are you a repentant sinner? Have you repented? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 13, verse 1 or verse 3? "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is essential, but so is faith. Faith is also very essential. Faith in God, but faith also, especially in the second person in the Trinity, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. Unbelief and faith. What complete different consequences. What complete different hearts. Hearts that only have unbelief, no faith, or a heart that has a little something of the beginning of faith, unbelief. There's condemnation. But with faith, there's no condemnation. Listen to what we read in John 3, verse 18. "He that believeth on him," Jesus Christ, "is not condemned." And now listen. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Congregation, by nature, our hearts are dead, hard, hard hearts of stone. No spiritual life, no repentance, no faith. It's all sin and iniquity and nothing at all of good, no good fruits. This is our guilt, congregation. It's the truth. It's a doctrine. But do, please, do not use it to hide behind, to have excuses. It should bring us as guilty sinners before God. But what a great, unspeakable difference that free and precious sovereign grace of God makes in the life of a sinner. God's grace leads a sinner to repentance, not to be repented of. God's grace enables a heart that can only produce unbelief to truly believe. My friend, are you a repentant sinner? But this morning I also need to ask you, do you believe? Do you have that true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is faith? Faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Last week we heard about the importance of repentance and what it is. What is repentance in the life of a sinner? But what does true saving faith look like? What is true saving faith? What is the experience in the heart of someone who has true saving faith? Let us listen to the word of God this morning, congregation. We will listen to a history of a woman, which is an illustration of true saving faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we listen to this word, maybe not only focus on the woman, but maybe also by God's grace be given to see that he would be revealed, that precious Savior who said in John 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The history of that unclean woman with the issue of blood, which we will focus on this morning, has beautiful glories and riches of Jesus Christ, but it is also an illustration of how the Holy Spirit works in the heart of a sinner. She is an illustration of true and saving faith. And so this morning, with the help of the Lord, we will focus on Mark 5, verse 25 through 34. And at this moment, I will only read verse 34. Mark 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. So far from God's words. So in this text, twice we read about being whole. Two different words, congregation, in Greek. I need to explain to you this so you follow the sermon. The first word is a Greek that emphasizes more on salvation. And the second word speaks more of health. So, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And you read in the Hawk Bible, thy faith hath saved thee. Yes, that's the word. Sozo, salvation. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Be healthy. So the theme this morning is faith in Jesus Christ makes whole. Completely whole. Soul and body. Jesus Christ is the exalted, ascended Savior. And he works in the hearts of sinners. He renews them. He seeks them as the good shepherd. He renews them. And he teaches them who they are of sin. And he draws them to himself. Empty of them. Bringing to an absolute impossibility himself. And draws them to himself. And he makes them whole. He saves them. And so three thoughts this morning. Faith in Jesus Christ makes whole. First, a need made for Jesus Christ. A need made for Jesus Christ. We will consider this in verse 25 and 26, but also in the life of God's people. Second, drawn to Jesus Christ, especially in verse 27. And she heard of Jesus. Beautiful. Beautiful. And what does she do? She goes to him, drawn to Jesus. And the last, healed and comforted by Jesus Christ. So the theme, faith in Jesus Christ makes whole. A need made for Jesus, drawn to Jesus, and healed and comforted by Jesus. And please keep your Bibles open to Mark 5. A need made for Jesus. Congregation, every single one of us here and in the whole world has a great need for Jesus Christ. Every person in this world, without exception, from the youngest to the oldest, we're all in need of Jesus Christ as a Savior. But by nature, there is no room in our hearts. There is no need. But may I ask you this morning already another personal question? Has that changed in your heart? Is there need for a Savior? Do you have a need for the Lord Jesus Christ? And now we will consider this history of this woman. We read in Mark 5, 25, a certain woman. Who is this woman? We don't read her name, right, children? She doesn't have a name, but she's known. She's a known woman. What do we know about this woman? Well, we read in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years. She's sick. She has an internal flowing of blood, a menstrual blood problem. One time, for a long time in her life, she may have been very healthy. She enjoyed life. She enjoyed the pleasures of the world. She enjoyed the gifts. And she had no need for her body or for her soul. She lived without a need. And she would have kept living this way, but God, in his wisdom, he worked a need in her heart. She received a sickness, a disease, which had consequences. There came a woe. She became unclean. And God works, congregation, through his word and through the acts of his providence. He's speaking to us. And so this woman has an issue of blood. What does blood speak about, congregation, children? What do you think of when you see blood? You think of life. So this woman literally saw her life flowing away. She was losing her life. She had this sickness for 12 years. Everywhere she went, she couldn't escape it. When she woke up, it was a reality. When she went to bed, it was reality. Wherever she went, she could not escape her great need. She was sick. She was dying. She had an issue of blood. She had a great need. And what did she do? We read that she went to many doctors. She went to many physicians. And she tried all different kinds of medicines and remedies. Some of them were absolutely horrible. We'll leave that. But what did it do for her? Children, what did it do for her? What do you read in your Bible? Did she get better? She didn't get better at all. It didn't help her one bit. But what actually happened? She got worse and worse, as we read in verse 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So this woman was sick, weak, and suffering, getting worse and worse. We would say, slowly dying, dying. What a great need. And now imagine being sick and visiting many different doctors and spending all your money and getting worse and worse. What disappointment. But this woman didn't only suffer physically. No, it's more. I will explain it. It was deeper. She suffered also spiritually. How? Why? According to the ceremonial law, she was unclean. Unclean for 12 years. This meant she was separated from society. She couldn't be with her family. Any person that touched her would become unclean. Everything she touched would become unclean. And she was separated, sort of like a leper. Unclean. She became so lonely. What a great need. But more. More. She was separated from worshiping God in the temple. She was separated. She could not go to the temple. She could not go like David could and stand there and see the sacrifices when it all spoke of the riches of the gospel in Jesus Christ. She could not go there. She was unclean. She was banned. And so she had a need in her body, but she also had a need in her soul because of the consequence of her sickness. And this became a reality in her life and in her heart. It wasn't only of her body, congregation. It was also with her soul. Why did God give a law? Why did God give such a law? Could you imagine if we stood at the door of the church and whoever was not perfectly healthy could not enter in? That was what it was like in the time of the temple worship. But why? It was a silent preaching. It was a silent preaching. God was saying, I'm holy and just, and nothing unclean can come in my presence. He is speaking, you are unclean, you are sinful. My friend, it's a message to you and me also. We are unclean, we're unrighteous. And all our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags. Has that come home? Is that a reality? Has that worked a need in your heart? We read in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. We're all born unclean, and we're filthy in God's eyes. We have a great disease. This woman had a great disease for 12 years, but she had another disease that from the very moment she was born, And you and I also have that same disease of sin. Sin that causes a separation with God. She had a need, not only for her body, but also for her soul. This woman had a disease for 12 years, and she was banned from the temple, separated from that place of communion with God. And she did everything in her ability to try to heal herself. She tried everything to take away what caused that separation with her and God. But she only got worse and worse. Oh, what a great need was worked, made in this heart of this woman. May I ask you, is she an illustration of you? Is she? Is she an illustration of you? Her disease was a reality, and those consequences were a reality. Has your disease, a sin, become a reality? A reality. And have you seen, because of your sin, you're separated with a holy and just God, and in your heart there's love for Him. Oh, that I may have communion with Him, that I may have favor, but there's such a great separation because of my sin. She tried everything to get better. And those who are made alive, they also spiritually try to do everything to make themselves better. My friend, are you still trying to make yourself better? Are you trying this and trying that? Are you trying to be perfect? Oh, that I might be perfect, that the Lord would have favor upon me. Are you trying to keep the law? Are you trying to pray better, be more zealous, trying to get to win the favor of God? But are you experiencing in your life, it's only getting worse? It's not getting better. It's getting worse. I just see more sin and more sin. Hypocrites, they start to feel a little better. They can pray a little better. They become a little, but God's people, they don't become better. They become worse. They see more sin. They become broke, completely spiritually broke. This woman became broke. She had spent all her money. It's all gone. Are you spiritually broke this morning? Are you an unclean sinner trying everything? But you see, it's impossible, hopeless from my side. Are there spiritual, unclean, bankrupt sinners here this morning? Nothing from her side could take away the cause of that separation. Have you also learned that? Nothing from your side can take away the cause of separation between a holy and a just and a good doing God and you and your soul. This woman became a greater need. It just got worse. Are there sinners here this morning in Cortland? It's only getting worse. It's not getting better. Are you a greater sinner, the chiefest of sinners, the vilest of sinners? God works in sinners. Why? There's a purpose. Because by nature, we have no room. We can hear the gospel, and you must hear the gospel, but by nature, there's no room for the gospel. God has to empty, to teach, to make lost, bankrupt, because He wants to fill with all His goodness of the riches of His grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. This woman had a great need for her body, and she had a great need for her soul. My friend, do you have maybe both these needs also, but especially for your soul? Is there hope for this woman? Will she just die? Will she die? Is there hope for such sinners that are perishing? Is there hope for her to be made whole? Is there hope for such wretched sinners to be made whole? Yes. And who? Does she just need to go to another doctor? Does she need to hear another physician finally? She needs to hear of the great physician. She needs to be drawn to the great physician, the only physician who can heal, who can make whole for body, but especially also for souls. And so we come to our second thought, drawn to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said in John 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." God the Father brings sinners to an absolute end in self. And he draws them. He draws them to Jesus Christ, his Son. What is faith? John Calvin said something beautiful about faith. Faith brings a man empty to God, that he may be filled with the blessings of God. That's faith. Lost in self to receive all the blessings in God. This woman with an issue of blood came to a dead end way. She had no more hope of being healed by her own works. Have you come to a dead end in everything to your own works? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and teaches the absolutely impossibility to be saved by any works or anything of self. The purpose? To make room. To make room for that precious, glorious Savior and his riches of his grace. How many doctors did this woman visit? We don't know. I imagine every time she heard of another doctor, her hope was raised a little bit. And then she would look in her house. Maybe she had to sell this and sell that, and she sold it all because she wanted to be healthy. But then, none could help her. None could help her. I can imagine her again, in her life, again, selling the last few things maybe, and going to a doctor. Broke. This is my last hope. My last time. If this doesn't heal me, I'll die. And it only got worse. Worse. Is that you? It only gets worse. I hope all your doctors die. That all your works die. They become absolutely hopeless. For 12 years, she sought a cure. I think she must have come close to despair. What disappointment. Who does she need, congregation? What does she need? What do such sinners need? What do such sinners need? They need the great physician. They need the Savior. They need to be drawn to him. How will they be drawn to him? How? As far as we know in this history, no one has spoken to this woman about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now look in your Bible, in verse 27. But one day she hears one, when she heard of Jesus. So beautiful. She hears of the great physician. Sinners need to hear of the great physician for their soul, which is incurable. How did she hear about him? We don't know. But maybe she heard that he was the one who could heal every type of sickness. That gave her some hope. Did she hear that he was the Messiah, the promised one? He's finally come. Did she hear the message of John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Did she hear that he was the one that has such power, he can deliver sinners from the power of Satan? Did she hear about the paralytic man? Children, remember him? He came through the roof and he was healed in body, but he also heard a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Maybe she heard all these and many more stories, but she finally heard of Jesus Christ. She heard of him. She heard of him. And one thing is absolutely certain. What she heard of him, it didn't only go into her ear, it went into her heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. What she heard of Jesus Christ was by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It worked. Faith. Faith in that only great physician in Jesus Christ. Did she just stay at home then? Did she stay at home? She couldn't stay at home. She couldn't. You could have told her, you need to stay home, you're unclean. She said, I'm sorry. Please, let me go. You could have tried to stop her. You would have not stopped this woman from going. She heard of him and she was drawn. From what she heard of Jesus Christ, she was drawn to him. faith in her heart by what she heard. Faith in the great physician. Did she know him as the great physician? Whatever she knew of him, she was drawn to him. Congregation, why do sinners need to hear the gospel? Why do they need to hear of the only Savior? Why must an ambassador preach the good news of Jesus Christ? Because that is the way God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, works faith in their heart and draws them to him. Congregation, the purpose of this history is not that we only focus on this woman, but we focus on him who is that great physician of such sinners in such great need, lost and polluted at the very end of everything itself. Faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. A little lesson for us, congregation, especially you who are recipients of grace. Do you meet people? Do you meet people, your family, friends, other people in the congregation? Do you meet car salesmen? Do you meet doctors, dentists, people who cut your hair, neighbors, workers? A lesson. Speak. Speak about the great physician. The Lord can bless the simplest means, that they may hear about him, and the Lord can bless it with such power that they are drawn unto him. What is one of the proofs of true saving faith? Repentance. But what else? Sorrow for sin. What else? Saving faith causes action. There's action in this late woman's life. Her great need. She heard about Jesus Christ, and what she heard, she believed in, and there causes action. What action? She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was drawn to him, and she wanted to touch the hem of his garment, as we read in verse 27. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garments. This woman had a great need, but she was also timid. She was timid, we would say. She was unworthy of meeting such a great one. She felt so unclean. Me? With such a holy one? With such a mighty one? Me, an unclean? Come to him? Is that you? Is that you? Trembling? This woman was ceremonially unclean. She knew it. She was going to break the law to go to the great physician. And if she touched him, he would be unclean. But she needed him. She needed to connect to him. She needed what he had for such a woman as her. Not only for her body, but for her soul. And so she said, I will go behind him, and I will secretly touch his garments. From behind. Quietly. Discreetly. Why? Because she had to connect to him. She needed him. She had to connect to him. She had to touch. She had faith. She had such great faith. She had such great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If she would only just reach down and touch the hem of her garment, she would be made whole. Whole. Yes? Whole. Completely whole. That's the word. What did she say in verse 28? For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Sozo. Salvation. I shall be saved. Not only of my plague, but I'll be saved. That's the words. She confessed her faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine this woman now leaving her home. Children, do you see her? Maybe she couldn't walk so fast. Maybe she was not sad so much no more. She had hope. She had a different hope that she never, ever had before. And maybe a little voice said inside her, you can't do this. You can't go. You're breaking the law. You need to stay home. He won't receive you. He'll cite the ceremonial law to you. You're unclean. Go home. Stay in your home. It's hopeless. He will not receive you. Is there a little voice speaking in your heart?
Is there? You're too young. You're too old. You're too sinful. You sin against such better knowledge. You sin so willfully, and you keep sinning. It keeps flowing out of you. Do you hear that voice? You have a voice? You say, yeah, now you're sick. You want to go to church? And the voice says, you hypocrite, don't go. My friend, Satan is a liar. He's a liar. He wants to do everything to destroy. What do we read in the Bible? This man receiveth sinners. That's the best news. Is it not, congregation? Is it not that this man receives sinners? Old sinners, hard sinners, wicked sinners, vile sinners. Sinners that keep sinning again and again and again. Sinners that only can sin. Broke sinners. This man receiveth sinners. This woman was unclean. She had such a great need, and she heard about him, and she was drawn to him. To him. What was in her heart? What was in her heart, you think? What's in those hearts? Give me Jesus, or I die. It comes to, without him, I will perish. I need him. I need him for everything. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Give me Jesus or I die. This woman would die. She knew it. And then that separation would not be taken away. She needed that separation taken away. She sees by faith her only hope, nothing else. No other doctor, no other medicine, no other remedy, no more good works, no more law, no more prayers. I need him. Her great need propelled her forward. But who the Lord Jesus Christ was also drawing her. And so she went to him. My friend, do you have some of the same feelings in your own heart, in your own soul? Do you understand those experiences of being lost, impossible, but I need him and him alone? She went behind him and touched the hem of her garment. Why didn't she go publicly? Why didn't she just go in front of him, fall on her knees? Because she also had fear. She was unclean, but she trembled. She trembled. She was going to come in the presence of such a holy one, such a mighty one. She trembled. Do you understand that? Do you tremble because of who you are? Maybe you think you need to have perfect faith, perfect repentance, perfect love. You need to meet a certain standard. Because I cannot go to him, I need to be perfect first. I need to have perfect everything. I hope it comes hopeless and dead. Everything. Who did Jesus Christ come for? Did he come to receive perfect ones with perfect faith? Perfect this? Perfect no. It's all polluted. The essence is there by God's grace. But he came to save sinners, not the righteous. Do you need to prove yourself before you may flee to him as a lost sinner crying unto him? No. Do we need to meet a certain standard? May only perfect ones come? No, because who then could come? But you may come in all your wretchedness, in all your uncleanness, in all your pollution, in all your impossibilities. You may even come trembling with such weak, poor faith. But you may come from what you have heard of him, trusting in him and him alone. What will happen? What will happen to this woman? What will happen? Will she be healed? Will she be made whole with such sinners, with such a need? And faith may be so small, so trembling, so weak, so imperfect, yet looking, crying, sighing, going out to him. What will he do? What will he do? Let's sing first before we go to our last thoughts. Psalter 188, standing. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in
their own folly, disgraced. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Faith in Jesus Christ makes whole. A need for Jesus, drawn to Jesus. And now our last thought, healed and comforted by Jesus Christ. This woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And what happened, children? What do you read in your Bible? What do we read in verse 29? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately, this woman feels she is healed. What joy must have filled her heart. The reason, especially of separation, is taken away. It's taken away. She could go to her family, but more.
She could go. After 12 years, she could go to the place of worship. She could go to the place where she could receive the favor and communion of God, the place where she could hear and see the precious gospel. Finally, no other way but He who is the way. He healed her. Immediately, she feels strong and healthy. She feels it. Her life is completely changed. Did she have to take medicine? Did she have to use another remedy? No. Did she need to pay? What do you think? Did she have to pay a little bit? Did she have to pay some money? No. What did she need to do? What did she do? What happened? She came to a complete end in self, but she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. What does that mean? It's not the act, congregation, but what does it signify? What does it mean? This history is an illustration of true and saving faith. How is a sinner healed? How is a sinner made whole? How is a sinner justified? How is a sinner cleansed and forgiven of all his sin, made whole? By faith. By faith. And that only physician in Jesus Christ. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This woman's touch connected her with that powerful only Savior. It was an act of faith. Maybe that hand was trembling, fearful. And yet she believed in Him. If she could just touch, He would heal her. She rendered empty in self to be filled with the blessings of God. Hard for the flesh, but such blessings for the soul. For a never dying soul, that precious gift of faith connects a polluted, hell-worthy, unclean, bankrupt sinner to the great physician, Jesus Christ, and she was healed immediately. Immediately, when that poor sinner cries, sighs, goes out of self, looks to Him, goes out to Him, immediately they are saved. Genuine faith may be weak, very weak and trembling. It may be very fearful. But as soon as that sinner goes out of self, drawn and led, and comes to that only Savior as a lost sinner, looking up to Him for everything, trusting Him, they are saved. This woman touched, and she was immediately healed. Healed by Jesus Christ, the great physician. Her faith was not in her touch, and it wasn't the act. Her faith wasn't in the garments of Jesus Christ. Her faith was in Him, in that second person, in Him. Her faith connected with Him. A sinner is not justified by their faith. Their faith connects to that Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith connects to Him, that rich, precious, glorious Savior who has everything they need. And that poor sinner, that faith connects, that beggar's hand, that beggar's trembling hand. My friend, no works will save you. No works. Only true and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is essential, but so is faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3 verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What do we call this faith of this woman? Refuge-taking faith. The outgoing deed of faith. That's what we call it. That refuge-seeking faith. Nothing in self anymore. I need Him. And maybe an illustration. Maybe you could walk beside this woman and you would say, woman, do you have faith? What do you think her answer would be? What do you think? Oh, I have faith. No. You know what I think her answer would be? I don't know, but I know one thing. I'm unclean. I'm lost in self. I'm polluted. I'm a wretch. And I tell you one thing. I need Him. I'm going to Him because He's my only help. I need Him. and nothing can stop me. Nothing. I need him. Refuge-taking faith saves a sinner. This is essential. My friend, do you need faith? Can you only produce unbelief? You know what's so great about the gospel? What's so blessed? God says we must believe, but he has the very grace, the gift of faith that you need. That's the beauty. He has everything. And so that means you may cry to him. You may cry to him for everything you miss because he has an abundance through his Son, Jesus Christ. Was she put to shame? She said, if I may but touch, I'll be whole. Was she put to shame? No, she wasn't. Never will such sinners ever be put to shame. Romans 9, verse 33. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My friend, the Lord is the same today. He's the same today as he was at that time. He's the same. He has the same grace. He has the same power to save you, wretched sinner. And I may say, you may flee to him with all your wretchedness. And I may also say, his arms are open, ready to receive the most vilest, wicked of sinners. And he even calls. And that call becomes so sweet because not only the first time, but after grace, even after many years, and you see your heart is just a vile fountain of sin. And then to hear he calls, that becomes sweet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's rest in him, nowhere else. And you may come for the first time, and you may come again and again. She touched the garment, and she was immediately healed. Maybe she wanted to quietly go home. Maybe. Maybe she just wanted to go, slip through the crowd, and go home. And go home, and just meditate on what she had received. No one would notice. Did anybody see? Hey, why did you touch him? Nobody said anything. But someone saw, right, children? Someone saw. Someone felt it. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Unclean sinner. Is that you? Lost in everything and stuff. He sees you. He knows. He knows everything in your heart. He knows everything you're feeling. And he knows all your sin. But he also knows those little silent acts of faith. He sees it. He sees that little hand. Maybe you don't want to tell anybody. Maybe quietly. You are also quietly, so to speak, reaching out that hand. Oh, I just need to touch him. I need to be connected. You don't want to tell anybody. He sees it. He knows it. Knows it. And this woman came trusting in him, and she was healed. Healed. But you say, but me? Me? Such a sinner? Such a wicked one? I want to read something that Luther said. When I look to myself, I do not see how I could ever be saved. Is that you? How I could ever be saved? But then he said, but when I look to Jesus Christ, I do not see how I can ever be lost. Oh, what precious faith. May God give by his grace that faith where we come to end in self, but only have hope in him and flee to him and drawn to him. Drawn to him. What did it cost this woman? Nothing. Nothing. No money. Nothing. But it cost God. It cost God everything. It cost his son everything. This woman had an issue of blood. Her life was flowing out of her. But there's another one. That precious Savior. He allowed, he willingly gave himself. That his blood would flow out of his wounds. On his head, on his hands, on his feet, on his side. He gave it willingly that it would flow. He allowed life to flow from him. Why? To save such unclean ones. He was cast out from the favor of his Father, And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Because so such unclean ones, with nothing in self, could be received into his favor. But this woman couldn't go home. Why? Why? For the glory of God and for her comfort. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, who touched me? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. He said, who touched me, children? Didn't he know? The Lord is all-knowing. Doesn't he know who touched him? Why did he ask? Because he wanted this woman to come forward for his glory. And he also wanted to comfort her. He wanted to speak to her. And then we read in Luke 8, verse 45, when all denied. So in our imagination, we can see the crowd around the Lord Jesus when he asked, who touched me? And maybe one said, did you touch him? Did you touch him? No one. They all denied. And this woman was silent. The disciples were perplexed. And then we read in verse 45, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And then the Lord says in verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And now go back to Mark 5, verse 32. And there we read in verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And so you can see his eyes looking at this woman. And their eyes meet, and she knows. He knows. It's me. It's me. What does she do? Does she run away? Does she go home? No. She can't. She can't. She needs to speak. She needs to speak. And she comes. And we read, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She had to pour it all out. She comes at his feet, worshiping him, fell down, a place of humility at his feet. And she told him the whole truth. And maybe they heard the following. Lord, I touched thee. It was me, Lord. Lord, I had an issue of blood for 12 years. I tried everything. Everything. But it became absolutely hopeless. I was perishing. Perishing. But then I heard, Lord, my only hope was in thee. Lord, I came. I came and touched thee. I touched thee. I wanted to connect to thee. My hope was in thee. I needed thee. I needed that separation taken away. I'm unclean. I want it taken away. I need thee. I spent everything, Lord. It didn't help me. I only became broke, lost, more lost. I only got worse. By the heard of thee, that thou hast the power. I came, Lord. I heard that thou hast the power, for example, to forgive sins. And Lord, I touched thee. And thou hast made me whole. And maybe she said with words of thankfulness and gratitude. We don't read that, but I can imagine how she wanted to just glorify him. What would the Lord Jesus do? You? You broke the law. Go home. No, he didn't. He's a compassionate, a good and compassionate Savior. And those that come with nothing, yet looking into him, he will not rebuke. He will not send away. Why? Because it's his work. It's his work. And now he speaks. And so we'll end with what he said. What a beautiful comfort. Mark 5, verse 34. What's the first word she heard? A rebuke? No. Daughter. Children, do you love it when your mom or dad says, daughter? Doesn't that sound sweet when your mom or your dad, daughter, son? What does that mean? That means that you belong to them. That means you're part of a family. The Lord Jesus Christ to say in one word, woman, you don't have to fear. Daughter. Daughter. What a sweet depth of a word. What comfort for her soul. daughter. So would you love to hear, daughter or son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But then he speaks more. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, sozo, saved. Go in peace. There's peace. And be whole of thy plague. And be healthy. She is made whole. Body and soul. What blessings. What riches. What grace. And that precious Savior for absolutely unworthy sinners. Oh, my friend, congregation, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit richly blesses the word of God to your soul, that you're brought to repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, because that is the way of peace. That is the way to be made whole, completely whole. Forever whole. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee by the power of the Holy Spirit to richly bless thy word. Lord, do above all that we can think and ask. Thou art the mighty God. Thou art the King of the church. Thou art that one, the author and the finisher. Thou art that one who will seek and save. Thou art that one who can give new hearts, who can bring sinners to true repentance and to faith. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, may the preaching of the precious gospel draw sinners unto thyself, and that they may experience being whole, experience peace that is only in thee. Lord, remember also our brother elders in teaching catechism. Help them, make it a blessing for them and for the students. May we ask thee to bring us again here tonight to hear again of thy precious word. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us close with singing from 77, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory or my fall. O Lord my God, I sought thee, and thou didst heal and save. Thou, Lord, from death didst ransom and keep me from the grave. 77, 1, 2, and 5.
congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.